You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Right on the Money. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I'm sure that all of us need some kind of wisdom and advice on finances, but I trust that we won't look to stewardship on that. You know, I have another source of wisdom that I want us to look at, and I believe that when we embrace it, it'll help us much, much more than listening to steward. And so we're glad that you're here today, and I'm just excited about what we want to learn today about finances. Now, I'm going to ask our volunteers, they're going to come, and they're going to give you an envelope. And it's for everyone in the room who's an adult, let's say 16 years or older. When you get this envelope, I'm going to ask you just to put it under your leg and just hold it until later on, and then I'll give us instructions on what we can do with it. But we're in this series called Right on the Money. And right on the money means to be correct, to be true, to hit the nail on the head. And yet what happens is when we talk about giving, or even when we talk about money, it elicits a wide range of emotions. For some people, it's fear. For other people, it's guilt. For others, it might be anxiety. And for some, it might be literally joy. But it conjures up all kinds of different emotions. And there's a wide response to giving. You know, whenever the issue of money comes up, or maybe giving in a church service, you know, our feelings are affected and impacted by that. Sometimes it just makes us downright uncomfortable. And what I would suggest today is that it all comes back to our perspective, that all of these things are impacted by our perspective. And many people's ideas or thoughts about money, about giving, can be summarized in this. And this may not perfectly describe you, but here's what I believe. It describes a lot of people. And that is this: my money is my money, and the preacher and his gang is out to get as much of it as they possibly can. And that might not be your attitude, but that is an attitude of many, many people. Maybe you have thought that, maybe you haven't thought that. Maybe you're thinking that right now. I don't know. But what happens is when we talk about money, it conjures up a lot of different emotions. And if that's your thought, then what happens is usually it boils down to three things. We kind of think, well, my money is my money. Or when I give at church, I'm giving to the church. Or there's a lot more to give up than there is to gain when I give to church. And so whenever money is the issue, for many people, it creates anxiety or guilt. And so what happens is it all comes back to our perspective. Now, here's what I want us to understand. The attitude of money, okay, saturates Christianity all throughout America. All throughout America. And when we have this tendency to think that God's out to get our money, or the church is out to get our money, and it affects our view of money. And what we want to do today is we want to begin to see it as God sees it. Because whatever area of life, whether it's marriage, whether it's finances, what happens is this: when you and I see as God sees, we end up doing what God says. And so when we have His perspective on something and we embrace it, it changes our attitude tremendously. Now, let me explain it to you this way, okay? You remember when you were a young child and your mom and dad would ask you to do certain things? And you would curl up your nose and go, really? Do I have to? Are you kidding me? Or we say something like this, that's not fair. That's not right. Now that you're a parent, you have a tendency to what? To say the very same things that your father and your mother said to you. So what makes the difference? Age, maturity, and perspective. Really? Isn't that it? It's usually because we're a little bit older, we've matured a little bit, and now we have a different perspective. And consequently, we respond differently. And so what I want to do is I want us to sort through some things and to be able to get down to the basics and to begin to learn and to see how God sees everything. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at a parable. It's in Luke chapter 16. You can follow along in your notes. And Jesus is talking to a group of people. And oddly enough, he's talking about stuff and he's talking about money. Did you know that Jesus talked more about stuff and money than he did heaven or hell? And one of the reasons why is because he knows that in our lives and in our hearts and in our thinking, that money is primarily our focus. And so in this parable, Jesus feels that it's so important that he explains it. Now, if you'll read some of the other parables, you'll find out that he'll just tell a parable and then he'll just walk off. He'll just kind of drop the mic, so to speak, and just let people wrestle with that. But I believe the reason why he explains this is because of the group that he's talking to. He's talking to a group of people who love stuff. And part of that group was religious leaders. And he realized that because of their love of stuff and because of their love of money, it was getting in the way of honoring God. And so his goal in this parable was to help them to be able to get the right perspective on their stuff. Because when we do that, it just makes a tremendous difference in our life. So let's look at this parable. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Then Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. And so basically what Jesus is saying is, there's this rich guy, okay? He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of stuff. And basically, he got tired of managing it. He said, you know what? I'd like to go golfing. I'd like to go on vacations. There's other things that I'd like to do. I don't want to be concerned and I don't want to be dealing with my stuff, my money. And so what he ended up doing is he ended up hiring a manager. And I'm not for sure how he found this, but he found out that this manager was wasting his possessions. You know, maybe embezzling, I don't know. Maybe just not paying the bills. Maybe in the way in which he was dealing with people, he was ruining his reputation. I don't know, but it says here he was accused of wasting his possessions. And so Jesus goes on to say this. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you can no longer be manager any longer. He says, you know what? I've heard all this stuff. I'm holding you accountable. I want to know what's going on. We're going to open up the books, and we're going to look at what you've been doing and how you have been handling my stuff. Because you know what? You're fired. You're not going to be doing that anymore. Now look what he says here. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? What's he saying? He is saying that, you know what? I got a little bit of time. My owner has told me that basically I'm done with my job, that we're going to close the books, and that he's going to let me go. And so I got a little bit of time here. And so he goes on to say this: my master is taking away my job, and I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. Check out what he says here, okay? I know what I'll do. His mind is in gear. He's a strategic thinker. He's developing a plan. He says, I know what I'll do. Goes on to say, so that when, back to time again, okay, when I lose my job here, people will welcome me. Check this out. This is a key phrase. People will welcome me in their houses. See, he's already making a plan. He's already figuring out what he's going to do here. And here's what we have to understand about time. Time is central to understanding money from God's perspective. Because what we're learning about this manager is this. He understands that he has a little bit of time and he has an opportunity. And that's really true for all of us. We got a little bit of time and we have an opportunity. And so you know what he does? He becomes very, very intentional. Look what Jesus says here. So he called in each of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. Wow. Now look what the manager told him. The manager told him, take your bill, set down quickly, and make it 450. Now, how do you think that guy felt? He probably felt relieved. He probably was saying to himself, this is my lucky day. I can't believe that you're doing this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. By the way, if I can ever help you when you're in a pinch, if you ever need anything, man, I want you to know you got a friend in me. That's probably what he said. Jesus goes on to say this. Then he asked the second one, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. Wow. I think the guy probably replied the same way. Man alive, the stars have lined up for me. This is incredible. This is great. Hey, I just want you to know, if you ever find yourself in a corner and you need somebody, if you ever find yourself in a pinch, man, here's my number. You come by. I'm indebted to you. I can't believe that you've done this. This has helped me so much. This is really going to get me ahead. And then Jesus says this and blew everybody away. Remember, this is a parable. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. Probably everybody who was sitting under Jesus' teaching there was saying, are you kidding me? This guy's a thief. He's stealing. What are you doing? You're commending him? You're saying, way to go? But look what he says here. It says, the master commended him because he acted shrewdly. He acted strategic. He wasn't commending him for his dishonesty. He was just saying, dude, you know what? You're a bum. You're a jerk. You're a cheat. You're lazy. But I'll tell you what, this is brilliant. What you just pulled off is brilliant. It's nothing less than brilliant. And I commend you for being shrewd. That's what he's saying here. And then he goes on to say this, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. What's Jesus saying here? He is saying that the people of the world, who's the people of the world? They're the people who have a beginning and an end. 80 years. He says the people who have a short lifespan think more strategic and they leverage their stuff way more than the people of light. Who's the people of light? The people who are going to live forever with God. The people who understand that eternity is in front of them. The people who understand that we're going to spend more time on that side of the grave than we are on this side of the grave. The people who know God. He is saying, you know what? The people of this world, they're more strategic in their thinking than the people who know God. He said they're shrewd. Now, what does this word shrewd mean? Here's what it means. Practically wise. Sensible. And so what he is saying is the people who's only viewing life for about 80 years are practically wise and more sensible than many people who know God. Let me put it in our terms. People who don't know God here think more strategic than the people who do know God. That's what he's saying here. And he's talking to a group of people. And he's basically saying, you know what? You don't have the right perspective. You're not seeing things as I see them. And so Jesus goes on and he gives three unbelievable truths about stuff. And so he goes on and here's what he says. I tell you, okay, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, here's what you need to understand. Remember the dishonest manager? He was forgiving people's debts so they would welcome him in their what? In their houses. He was building relationships for something that he was going to reap in the future. And Jesus is saying here now, use your worldly wealth, use your worldly stuff to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed in eternal dwellings. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is communicating that your stuff and my stuff is a tool. That stuff is a tool. It's something that you and I are called to use strategically. It's something that you and I are called to leverage strategically. To what? To gain friends. Look what he says here. He says, use your stuff to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And so here's the question that we have to ask if we're going to see things from God's point of view. And that is this: how can I leverage my stuff for God's kingdom? Not how can I give to the offering. See, because you and I might give doesn't leave us off the hook for all the other stuff that we have. What Jesus would say is your house is a tool. So are you using your kitchen table as a tool to gain friends for eternity? Are you using your vehicles? Are you using your boat? Whatever stuff that you have, your stocks, all of that is a tool. And he's saying here that when you and I see as God sees, we will see everything that's in our possession as a tool to be leveraged to gain friends, so that when time ceases, as you and I know, there will be people in heaven because you leveraged your stuff to be able to influence them and to be able to make a difference in their life. Now, by the way, whose stuff is it? Well, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And so Jesus was saying, use it. Leverage it, be strategic to gain and to influence people. He goes on to say this, for whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, if you've not been trustworthy in handling all the stuff, who will trust you with what? True riches. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, because it all belongs to God, it all has come from God, God disperses to everyone. He says, if you cannot be trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And so Jesus is saying in this parable, when he's helping people understand truths about stuff, he says it's a tool, and secondly, it's a test. It's a test. What does he say here? He says, who can be trusted with very little? See, listen, everything that you and I have is very little. You might say, well, hey, I'm a millionaire. Very little. Whatever Bill Gates has, it's very little. It's very little compared to what God wants to give you and I. And what happens is this life is a test. So everything you have, God is testing you whether you can be trustworthy with it or not. And if you're not trustworthy, then what happens is you and I will not get rewarded. So it's a test. And so he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you and I cannot be trustworthy, okay, in handling worldly wealth, then God's not going to trust you and I with true riches. And so here's what we have to understand. God is going to hold you and I accountable. Because it's a test. It's a test. Everything, your house is a test. Your car is a test. Your summer home is a test. Everything you have is a test. And God is asking, are you leveraging it for my kingdom? Or are you just leveraging it for your kingdom? He goes on to say something very powerful. He says, no one, and he's talking to everybody in his audience. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. Now, that's a little bit confusing for some of us, because we thought it was about God and the devil. You cannot serve God and the devil, but that's not what he's saying here. What he is saying is you can't serve God and your stuff. No one can do it. You'll either be devoted to one and despise the other, or you will hate the one and love the other. And so what he is saying here is that our stuff is a tool, it's a test, and it's a trademark. It's a trademark. Look at this verse. This verse is unbelievable. He says it's not even possible. So don't even try it. You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. And so what happens is your stuff and my stuff determines whom I really belong to. It determines to whom I really belong to. See, it's not your confession that determines who you belong to. It's your heart. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And so what happens is, who's the Lord of your life? Who's the king of your life? You go back and you look at two things. You look at your calendar and you look at your checkbook. See, one of the prophets said it like this. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your what? Your heart is far from me. I don't have your heart. Your stuff has your heart. And so what happens is we have a choice. We can either protect our stuff or surrender it and serve God with our stuff. But you can't do both. You can't do both. And so what we have to understand here is that if we're going to have God's view, on our stuff. We have to see it as a tool to be leveraged. We have to see it as a test that you and I are going to be accountable for. And we have to see it as a trademark. It really shows who we're committed to and who we really belong to. And so Jesus gives us this parable. And I tell you what, he's rocking the people there. Because he's speaking right where they live. And he's speaking right where we live today. And I want you to watch this video because Todd here has come to this conclusion in his life. That his stuff, all of it, is a tool, it's a test, and it's a trademark. And so I want you to watch this.
My name is Todd Cox, married to Kathy, and I've got two kids, Nicole and Kyle, and we've been coming to New Point for about 7 years. We did not become Christians until June of 2010. And prior to that, we were not consistent givers. We weren't tithers. Up until that point, my wife and I, we would charge vacation. We would charge Christmas at the first of the year. Whenever the income tax check would come, we'd pay it off. But we'd pay that high interest, for months. We knew it going forward from that day that we accepted Christ that we needed to put him in control of everything, and that included our finances. In 2010, there was a sermon series on finances. They had canisters up on the table, and it had, one for give, one for save, one for spend. The spend, that was 80%. That was all ours. And we needed to figure out how could we, budget and live on 80%. And then 10% was to save, and then the give was 10%. At that moment, we made a decision to pay off our credit cards and made the commitment to not pay interest ever again. So from that day forward, since it was probably June 2010, we haven't paid one penny in interest since that time. And we made a commitment from that day forward, and it didn't happen overnight, that we were going to slowly and consistently work our way towards being able to tithe and get it to 10%. The blessings that our family got because of that, all of a sudden we're at 10% giving, and our incomes certainly didn't rise by 10%. Because of the finances that we were able to really let God get in control of, it has allowed me to go to Honduras, back to Honduras every year. And then I was able to introduce my daughter to a trip when she was in ninth grade. And then she went every consecutive year after that. We've gotten to get to meet people, and we've gotten to impact people for God because of being there, being on those trips and getting to spend time with the Hondurans. I really don't have a hobby. I don't collect anything. My hobby is going to Honduras, and the opportunity where we could impact other people for the Lord, to hear the word of Jesus Christ, because I was able to go on a missions trip, and God kind of set everything in order where before I could do that, obviously I had to have the finances available, and he set that up for us. And we've had the blessings to be able to support a child through the Compassion International program. We've been sponsoring a child through a program where we send them to school and they get medications and clothing. And we've been doing that for almost 6 years now. Before, we didn't have money to pay off our credit cards. Now, all of a sudden, we have this opportunity because we committed. And we tried to be faithful to our finances and faithful to what it is that God was wanting us to do.
So Todd's perspective changed. And he started to see as God saw, and he started to obey what God said. And Jesus tells you and I that We cannot serve God and money. We just can't. And see, what happens is all of us come to a fork in the road of where we have to decide whether we're going to serve God or we're going to serve stuff. And we've all been there, haven't we? Because all of us have overextended ourselves financially at one time or another. Would you agree with me? And when you and I overextend ourselves financially, what we're saying is, I'm serving stuff and not God. Y'all okay on that one? You know, because what happens is we see the car and you know what we say? Well, you know what, honey? I think I'm going to get a bonus. And we don't get it for 6 months, but I think I'm going to get a bonus, and you know what? We'll be able to make it. Or what happens is we go to the bank and we want this house, and they say, hey, you know what? Go ahead and overextend a little bit because, you know what, you're probably going to get a bump in your pay, and you're going to probably be able to do that. And then what happens is we end up not being able to do the things that God wants us to be able to do. You know why? Because we're serving stuff. We're serving stuff. See, I don't know if I've ever met anybody who has ever overextended themselves for the kingdom of God. Have you ever met anybody? I'm sure that there are people that have, but I've never met them. And we have a tendency to overextend ourselves financially for stuff, which lets us know where our heart is. And that really we don't have God's perspective on stuff, that it's a tool. It's a test, and it's a trademark. You see, nothing says more about you and me than my checkbook and my calendar. That's why we like to say those things are private, but they're not to God. Now, here's the great thing at New Point. We have people who get this, who understand that, you know what? All of their stuff is really God's stuff. And they leverage it in incredible, unbelievable ways. And because of that, God's moving and working in their life in incredible, unbelievable ways. And they see the hand of God and they sense God's presence in incredible, unbelievable ways. And my prayer is that all of us here would be able to get that. Wouldn't it be good if we weren't known as the big church? But we were known as the church with the big heart. That if all of us could grasp God's perspective on this, that you know what, we would be able to fulfill God's purpose and God's kingdom in Northeast Ohio and literally around the world. Because it's there. We just have to ask, am I going to serve stuff? Or am I going to serve God? Now, I want to help you with that, okay? New Point wants to help you with that. So get out your envelope, okay? Get out your envelope. And I want you to open it, all right? Let's open it. Open it together. You're going to be shocked probably. And there should be two things in your envelope. One is there should be some money, all right? Isn't that great, okay? You should have a five. Matter of fact, let's just put them up in the air, okay? Just put it up in the air. Just hold up in the air, all right? Now, you can look to your right and to your left, and maybe somebody to your right or your left has a 10 and you got a 5, or maybe they have a 20 and you have a 10, or maybe you have a 20 and they have a 50. And you know what your natural tendency is? That's not what? Fair. Thank you. It's not fair. But the fact of the matter is, it's not what you got that really matters. It's what you do with what you have that really matters. And so here's what we're asking you to do. You have a card here. It's called a stewardship card. And this is what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to take this, okay? We're helping you with your stewardship, okay? By the way, let me just tell you this. You don't own this. This is not yours. Okay, this is New Point's. But we're entrusting it to you, and we're asking you to either pull it together with your family, and you can add to it and maximize it, or you can get together with your small group and all come together and pull your money together, or you can invest it, you can get creative. But what we want you to do is we want you to pause and pray and ask God and say, God, in light of this, what would you have me do with it? Would you have me team up with somebody else? Would you have me talk to our small group? Would you have me add to it, maximize it? But what would you have me do with this? And then what we want you to do is we want you to invest it in the kingdom of God. And we've got some ways in which you can do it. You can help a family or someone in need. You can give it to a homeless shelter. You can give it to a battered women's shelter. Or you can give it to Feed My Starving Children. Or you can use it to provide clean water. We will help you do that. But you need to do it in one way or another, okay? And then we want to hear about your story. And you can either use this card or you can go to newpoint.com/steward and you can write your story of how God used you to take his stuff and to influence and to impact your world. Now, you can't put this back into the offering. That's being a bad steward. What you're thinking is, I don't want this responsibility. You have it. Matter of fact, you have a much greater responsibility than what you're holding in your hand. You have the responsibility of all your stuff. And you and I are going to give an account to God for it. You might be here today, and maybe this is your first time here, and you say, I'm not even a part of New Point. We want to help you with this anyways. And so you just fully participate in it. Or you might be here and say, hey, Dwight, I don't even believe that there is a God. What am I to do with this? You know what I would encourage you to do? I would encourage you to take this and use a magnet and place it on your refrigerator and just walk by it every day. And just say, God, if everything really does belong to you, if everything really does come from you, if you distribute everything, I want to know. And I want to know you in a deep, deep personal way so that I can begin to use it as a tool and see it as a test. And it can be my trademark that I really am committed to you. So March the 12th, we're going to gather all of these stories. And we're going to see what God will do because we have been not just good stewards. We've been incredible stewards. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you are a God who has blessed us with so, so much. And God, we pray that if this is true about you, that you would reveal yourself to us so that we won't spend the rest of our life thinking that we're owners when really we are stewards. I pray that you would help us to invest this gift that you've entrusted us with. And I pray that you would help us to understand that it's a tool and that it's a test and that ultimately it's a trademark. It really makes a statement of whether or not we belong to you. And so, God, we're excited about what you have for us. And so give us creativity, give us wisdom, help us to think strategic. And may many, many people be blessed because we were incredible stewards. And in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.